Chapter 9. Some to think that he would not be a father. The appellation of Lord General, one and similar titles, were never before known here. Almost every day he caused proclamations of various import to be published, which were for the most part never observed, and have long since been a dead letter, except the wine excise, as that yielded a profit. The proceedings of the eight men, especially against Joachim Peter Schyffer and Cornelis Malan, happened in the beginning of his administration. The director showed himself so one-sided in them, that he gave reason to many to judge of his character, yet little to his advantage. Everyone clearly saw that Director Kieft had more favor, aid and counsel in his suit than his adversary, and that the one director was the advocate of the other, as the language of Director Stuyvesant imported and signified when he said, "These churls may hereafter endeavor to knock me down also, but I will manage it so now that they will have their bellies full for the future." How it was managed, the result of the lawsuit can bear witness. They were compelled to pay fines, and were cruelly banished. In order that nothing should be wanting, Cornelis Malan, when he asked for mercy, till it should be seen how his matters would turn out in the fatherland, was threatened in language like this, as Malan, who is still living, himself declares, "If I knew, Malan, that you would divulge our sentence, or bring it before their high mightinesses, I would cause you to be hung immediately on the highest tree in New Netherland." Now this took place in private, and may be denied, and ought not to be true, but what does it matter? It is so confirmed by similar cases, that it cannot be doubted. For, some time after their departure, in the house of the minister, where the CONSISTORY2 had been sitting and had risen, it happened that one Arnoldus van der Denburg related the proceedings relative to the estate of Zeger Tunis, and how he himself as curator had appealed from the sentence. Whereupon the director, who had been sitting there with him as an elder, interrupted him and replied, "It may during my administration be contemplated to appeal, but if anyone should do it, I will make him a foot shorter, and send the pieces to Holland, and let him appeal in that way." Oh, cruel words! What more could even a sovereign do? And yet this is all firmly established. For after Joachim Peter Schyffer and Cornelis Malan went to the fatherland to prosecute their appeal, and letters came back here from them, and the report was that their appeal was granted, or would be granted, the director declared openly at various times, and on many occasions, as well before inhabitants as strangers, when speaking of Joachim Peter Schyffer and Cornelis Malan, even if they should come back cleared, and bring an order of the states, no matter what its contents, unless their high mightinesses summon me, I should immediately send them back. His honor has also always denied that any appeal was or could be taken in this country, and declared that he was able to show this conclusively. And as some were not willing to believe it, especially in matters against the company or their chief officers, a great deal which had been sought out in every direction was cited, and really not much to the purpose. At the first, while Director Kieft was still here, the English minister, three as he had long continued to service without proper support, and as ill, and was now confiscated, prayed that he might be permitted to proceed to the islands, for to the Netherlands. But an unfavorable answer was always given him, and he was threatened with this and that. Finally it resulted in permission to leave, provided he gave a promise under his hand, that he would not in any place in which he should come, speak, or complain of what had befallen him here in New Netherland under Director Kieft or Stuyvesant. This the man himself declares. Mr. Dinklagen and Captain Loper, five who then had seats in the council, also say that this is true. One wonders, if the directors act rightly according to their own consciences, what they wish to do with such certificates, and others like them, which were secretly obtained. The honorable director began also at the first to argue very stoutly against the contraband trade, as was indeed very laudable, provided the object was to regulate the matter, and to keep the law enforced. Yet this trade, forbidden to others, he himself wished to carry on. But to this the people were not willing to consent. His Honor said, and openly asserted, that he was allowed, on behalf of the company, to sell powder, lead and guns to the Indians, but no one else could do so, and that he wished to carry their resolution into execution. What the resolution of the company amounts to, is unknown to us, six, but what relates to the act is notorious to every inhabitant. As the director has by his servants openly carried on the trade with the Indians, and has taken guns from free men who had brought with them one or two for their own use and amusement, paying for them according to his own pleasure, and selling them to the Indians. But this way of proceeding could amount to nothing, and made little progress. Another plan was necessary, and therefore a merchant, Jarrett Vastrick, received orders to bring with him one case of guns which is known of, for the purpose, as it was said, of supplying the Indians sparingly. They set about with this case of guns so openly, that there was not a man on the Manhattans but knew it, and it was work enough to quiet the people. Everybody made his own comment, and, as it was observed, that the ship was not inspected as others had been before, it was presumed, that there were many more guns, besides powder and lead, in it for the governor. But as the first did not succeed, silence was therefore observed in regard to the rest, and it might have passed unnoticed, had not everyone perceived, what a great door for abuse and opportunity the director so opened to all others, and to the captain and merchant, who were celebrated for this of old, and who were now said to have brought with them a great number of guns, which was the more believed, because they went to the right place, and on their return, were dumb as to what they did. This begat so much discontent among the common people, and even among other officers, that it is not to be expressed. And had the people not been persuaded and held back, something extraordinary would have happened. It was further declared, that the director is everything, and does the business of the whole country, having several shops himself, that he is a brewer and has breweries, is a part owner of ships, a merchant and a trader, as well in lawful as contraband articles. But he does not mind. He exhibits the orders of the managers, that he might do so, and says moreover, that he should receive a supply of powder and lead by the falconer for the purpose. In a word, the same person who interdicts the trade to others upon pain of death, carries it on both secretly and openly, and desires, contrary to good rules, that his example be not followed, and if others do follow it, which indeed too often happens secretly, that they be taken to the gallows. This we have seen in the case of Jacob Rientgen and Jacob van Schermerhoren, against whom the penalty of death was asked, which the director was with great difficulty persuaded to withdraw, and who were then banished as felons and their goods confiscated. Less than seven the banishment was, by the intervention of many good men, afterwards revoked, but their goods, which amounted to much, as they were Scotch merchants 8, remained confiscated. We cannot pass, by relating here what happened to one Juist Funes Backer, as he has complained to us of being greatly maltreated, as he in fact was. For the man being a reputable burgher, of good life and moderate means, was put in prison upon the declaration of an officer of the company, who, according to the general and council, had himself thrice well deserved the gallows, and for whom a new one even had been made, from which, out of mercy, he escaped. Charges were sought out on every side, and finally, when nothing could be established against him having the semblance of crime, he was released again, after 13 days' confinement, upon satisfactory bail for his appearance in case the fiscal should find anything against him. Nothing has as yet been done about it. After the year and a day had passed by, we have, as representatives of the commonalty, and upon his request, legally solicited, as his sureties were troubling him, that the suit should be tried, so that he might be punished according to his deserts, if he were guilty, and if not, that he might be discharged. But there was nothing gained by our interposition, as we were answered with reproachful language, and the fiscal was permitted to rattle out anything that came in his mouth, and the man was rendered odious beyond all precedent, and abused before all as a foul monster. Asked he anything, even if it were all right, he received angry and abusive language. His request was not complied with, and justice was denied him. These things produce great dissatisfaction, and lead some to meditate leaving the country. It happened better with one Pieter van der Linden, as he was not imprisoned. There are many others, for the most of them are disturbed, and would speak if they durst. Now the company itself carries on the forbidden trade, the people think that they too can do so without guilt, if they can do so without damage, and this causes smuggling and frauds to an incredible extent, though not so great this year as heretofore. The publishing of a placard that those who were guilty, whether civilly or criminally, in New England, might have passport and protection here, has very much embittered the minds of the English, and has been considered by everyone fraught with bad consequences. Great distrust has also been created among the inhabitants on account of here Stuyvesant being so ready to confiscate. There scarcely comes a ship in or near here, which, if it do not belong to France, is not regarded as a prize by him. Though little comes of it, great claims are made to come from these matters, about which we will not dispute, but confiscating has come to such repute in New Netherland, that nobody anywise conspicuous considers his property to be really safe. It were well if the report of this thing were confined to this country. But it has spread among the neighboring English north and south, and in the West Indies and Caribbean islands. Everywhere there, the report is so bad, that not a ship dare come hither from those places, and good credible people who come from thence, by the way of Boston, and others here trading at Boston, assure us that more than 25 ships would come here from those islands every year, if the owners were not fearful of confiscation. It is true of these places only, and the report of it flies everywhere, and produces like fear, so that this vulture is destroying the prosperity of New Netherland, diverting its trade, and making the people discouraged, for other places, not so well situated as this, have more shipping. All the permanent inhabitants, the merchant, the burgher and peasant, the planter, the laboring man, and also the man in service, suffer great injury in consequence. For if the shipping were abundant, everything would be sold cheaper, and necessaries be more easily obtained than they are now, whether they be such as the people themselves, by God's blessing, get out of the earth, or those they otherwise procure, and be sold better, and with more profit. And people and freedom would bring trade. New England is a clear example that this policy succeeds well, and so especially is Virginia. All the debts and claims which were left uncollected by Director Keefe do for the most part from poor and indigent people who had nothing, and whose property was destroyed by the war, by which they were compelled to abandon their houses, lands, cattle and other means were now demanded. And when the people declared that they were not able to pay, that they had lost their property by the war, and asked my lord to please have patience, they were repulsed. A resolution was adopted, and actually put into execution, requiring those who did not satisfy the company's debts to pay interest. But the debts in question were made in, and by the war, and the people are not able to pay either principal or interest. Again, the just debts which Director Keefe left behind, due from the company, whether they consisted of monthly wages, or were for grain delivered, or were otherwise lawfully contracted, these the director will not pay. If we oppose this as an unusual course, we are rebuked, and it has to be so. We have by petition and proper remonstrance effected, however, so much, that the collection of the debts is put off for a time. 1 min here general is hardly what would be meant in English by or general. It is most like Fr. Monsieur le General. To the church session, in the Reformed Church, consisting of minister, elders and deacons. 3 Francis Doughty. 4 The West Indies. 5 Jacob Loper, a Swedish naval captain in the Dutch service, who had married the eldest daughter of Cornelis Malin. 6 Mr. Murphy quotes an apposite passage from a letter which the company had written to Stuyvesant on April 7th, 1648, as the Indians urge it with such earnestness, that they would rather renew the war with us than be without these articles, and as a war with them, in our present situation, would be very unwelcome, we think the best policy is to furnish them with powder and ball but with a sparing hand. 70 sentences were imposed in July, 1648. 8 peddlers. Besides this, the country of the company is so taxed, and is burdened and kept down in such a manner, that the inhabitants are not able to appear beside their neighbors of Virginia or New England, or to undertake any enterprise. It seems, and so far as is known by us, all the inhabitants of New Netherland declare that the managers have scarce any care or regard for New Netherland, except when there is something to receive, for which reason, however, they receive less. The great extremity of war in which we have been clearly demonstrates that the managers have not cared whether New Netherland sank or swam, for when in that emergency aid and assistance were sought from them, which they indeed were bound by honor and by promises to grant unsolicited, pursuant to the exemptions, they have never established any good order or regulation concerning it, although, after all, such a thing had been decreed and commanded by their high mightinesses. Neither have they ever allowed the true causes and reasons of the war to be investigated, nor have they attempted to punish those who had rashly begun it. Hence no little suspicion that it was undertaken by their orders. At least it is certain that their officers were chosen more from favor and friendship than merit, which did not make their matters go on better. But this is the loss and damage for the most part of the stockholders. Many of the others doubtless knew well their objects. In a word, they come far short in affording that protection which they owe the country, for there is nothing of the kind. They understand how to impose taxes, for while they promised in the exemptions not to go above 5%, they now take 16. It is a common saying that a half difference is a great difference, but that is nothing in comparison with this. The evasions and objections which are used by them, as regards merchants' goods, smuggling and many other things, and which the times have taught them, in order to give color to their acts, are of no force or consideration. They, however, are not now to be refuted, as it would take too long, though we stand ready to do so, if there be any necessity for it. These and innumerable other difficulties, which we have not time to express, exist, tending to the damage, injury and ruin of the country. If the inhabitants or we ourselves go to the director or other officers of the company and speak of the flourishing condition of our neighbors and complain of our own desolate and ruinous state, we get no other answer from them than that they see and observe it, but cannot remedy it, as they follow the company's orders, which they are compelled to do, and that if we have anything to say, we must petition their masters, the managers, or their high mightinesses, which in truth we have judged to be necessary. It is now more than a year since the commons men deemed it expedient, and proposed, to send a deputation to their high mightinesses. The director commended the project, and not only assented to it, but urged it strongly. It was put well in the mill, so that we had already spoken of a person to go, but it fell through for these reasons. When it was proposed, the director desired that we should consult and act according to his wishes, which some who perceived the object would not consent to, and the matter therefore fell asleep. Besides, the English, who had been depended upon, and who were associated in the affair, withdrew till the necessity of action became greater, and the 9 men were changed the next year, one when Herr Stuyvesant again urged the matter strongly, and declared that he had already written to the company that such persons would come. After the election of the 9 men, and before the new incumbents were sworn in, it was determined and resolved verbally that they would proceed with the deputation, whatever should be the consequences. But it remained some time before the oath was renewed, on account of some amplification of the commission being necessary, which was finally given and recorded and signed. but we have never been able to obtain an authentic copy of it, although the director has frequently promised, and we have frequently applied for it. 1 December, 1648. As the company had now been waited upon a long while in vain, promising amendment from time to time, but going on worse, a determined resolution was taken by the Commons men to send some person. They made their intention known to the director, and requested that they might confer with the commonalty. But their proposition was not well received, and they obtained in reply to their written petition a very long apostle, to the effect that consultation must be had with the director, and his instructions followed, with many other things which did not agree without object, and were impracticable, as we think. For various reasons which we set down in writing, we thought it was not advisable to consult with him, but we represented to his honor that he should proceed. We would not send anything to the fatherland without his having a copy of it. If he could then justify himself, we should be glad he should. But to be expected to follow his directions in this matter was not, we thought, founded in reason, but directly antagonistic to the welfare of the country. We had also never promised or agreed to do so, and were bound by an oath to seek the prosperity of the country, as, according to our best knowledge, we are always inclined to do. In the above-mentioned apostle it says, if we read rightly, that we should inquire what approbation the commonalty were willing to give to this business, and how the expense should be defrayed. But the director explained it differently from what we understood it. Now as his honor was not willing to convene the people however urgent our request, or that we should do it, we went round from house to house and spoke to the commonalty. The general has, from that time, burned with rage, and, if we can judge, has never been effectually appeased since, although we did not know, but that we had followed his order herein. Nevertheless it was perceived that the 9 men would not communicate with him, or follow his directions in anything pertaining to the matter. This excited in him a bitter and unconquerable hatred against them all, but principally against those whom he supposed to be the chief authors of it. And although these persons had been good and dear friends with him always, and he, shortly before, had regarded them as the most honorable, able, intelligent and pious men of the country, yet as soon as they did not follow the general's wishes they were this and that, some of them rascals, liars, rebels, usurers, and spendthrifts. In a word, hanging was almost too good for them. It had been previously strongly urged that the deputation should be expedited, but then, he said, there was still 6 months' time, and that all that was proper and necessary could be put upon a sheet of paper. Many reports also were spread among the people, and it was sought principally by means of the English to prevent the College of the 9 men from doing anything. But as these intrigues were discovered, and it was therefore manifest that this could not be effected, so in order to make a diversion, many suits were brought against those who were considered the ringleaders. They were accused, and then prosecuted by the fiscal and other suborned officers, who made them out to be the greatest villains in the country, where shortly before they had been known as the best people and dearest children. At this time an opportunity presented itself, which the director was as glad to have, at least as he himself said, as his own life. At the beginning of the year 1649, clearly perceiving that we would not only have much to do about the deputation, but would hardly be able to accomplish it, we deemed it necessary to make regular memoranda for the purpose of furnishing a journal from them at the proper time. This duty was committed to one Adrian van der Donck, who by a resolution adopted at the same time, was lodged in a chamber at the house of one Michael Jans. The general on a certain occasion, when van der Donck was out of the chamber, seized this rough draft with his own hands, put van der Donck the day after in jail, called together the great council, accused him of having committed crime in lese majestatis, and took up the matter so warmly that there was no help for it, but either the remonstrance must be drawn up in concert with him, and it was yet to be written, or else the journal as mine here styled the rough draft from which the journal was to be prepared was of itself sufficient excuse for action. For mine here said there were great calumnies in it against their high mightinesses, and when we wished to explain it and asked for it, to correct the errors, as the writer did not wish to insist upon it and said he knew well that there were mistakes in it, arising from haste and other similar causes, in consequence of his having had much to do, and not having read over again the most of it. Our request was called a libel which was worthy of no answer, and the writer of which it was intended to punish as an example to others. In fine, we could not make it right in any way. He forbade Van der Donk the council, and also our meetings, and gave us formal notice to that effect, and yet would not release him from his oath. Then, to avoid the proper mode of proof, he issued a proclamation declaring that no testimony or other act should be valid, unless it were written by the secretary, who is of service to nobody, but on the contrary causes everyone to complain that nothing can be done. Director Kieft had done the same thing when he was apprehensive that an attestation would be executed against him. And so it is their practice generally to do everything they can think of in order to uphold their conduct. Those whose offices required them to concern themselves with the affairs of the country, and did so, did well, if they went according to the general's will and pleasure. If they did not, they were prosecuted and thrown into prison, guarded by soldiers, so that they could not speak with anybody, angrily abused as vile monsters, threatened to be taught this and that, and everything done against them that he could contrive or invent. We cannot enter into details, but refer to the record kept of these things, and the documents which the director himself is to furnish. From the foregoing relation, their high mightinesses, and others interested who may see it, can well imagine what labor and burdens we have had upon our shoulders from which we would very willingly have escaped, but for love of the country and of truth, which, as far as we know, has long lain buried. The trouble and difficulty which do or will affect us, although wanting no addition, do not grieve us so much as the sorrowful condition of New Netherland, now lying at its last gasp. But we hope and trust that our afflictions and the sufferings of the inhabitants and people of the country will awaken in their high mightinesses a compassion which will be a cause of rejoicing to New Netherland. In what manner New Netherland should be redressed? Although we are well assured and know, in regard to the mode of redress of the country, we are only children, and their high mightinesses are entirely competent, we nevertheless pray that they overlook our presumption, and pardon us if we make some suggestions according to our slight understanding thereof, in addition to what we have considered necessary in our petition to their high mightinesses. In our opinion, this country will never flourish under the government of the Honorable Company, but will pass away, and come to an end of itself without benefiting thereby the Honorable Company, so that it would be better, and more profitable for them, and better for the country, that they should divest themselves of it, and transfer their interests. To speak specifically, provision ought to be made for public buildings, as well ecclesiastical as civil, which, in beginnings, can be ill dispensed with. It is doubtful whether divine worship will not have to cease altogether in consequence of the departure of the minister, and the inability of the company. There should be a public school, provided with at least two good masters, so that first of all in so wild a country, where there are many loose people, the youth be well taught and brought up, not only in reading and writing, but also in the knowledge and fear of the Lord. As it is now, the school is kept very irregularly, one and another keeping it according to his pleasure, and as long as he thinks proper. There ought also to be an almshouse and an orphan asylum, and other similar institutions. The minister who now goes home, one should be able to give a much fuller explanation thereof. The country must also be provided with godly, honorable and intelligent rulers who are not too indigent, or indeed are not too covetous. A covetous chief makes poor subjects. The manner the country is now governed falls severely upon it, and is intolerable, for nobody is unmolested, or secure in his property longer than the director pleases, who is generally strongly inclined to confiscating. And although one does well, and gives the heir what is due to him, one must still study always to please him, if he would have quiet. A large population would be the consequence of a good government, as we have shown according to our knowledge in our petition. And although to give free passage and equip ships, if it be necessary, would be expensive at first, yet if the result be considered, it would be an exceedingly wise measure, if by that means farmers and laborers together with other needy people were brought into the country, with the little property which they have. As also the fatherland has enough of such people to spare. We hope it would then prosper, especially as good privileges and exemptions, which we regard as the mother of population, would encourage the inhabitants to carry on commerce and lawful trade. Everyone would be allured hither by the pleasantness, situation, salubrity, and fruitfulness of the country, if protection were secured within the already established boundaries. It would all, with God's assistance, then, according to human judgment, go well, and New Netherland would in a few years be a worthy place, and be able to do service to the Netherland nation, to repay richly the cost, and to thank its benefactors. 1 Reverend Johannes Bacchus. High Mighty Lords! We have had the boldness to write this remonstrance, and to represent matters as we have done from love of the truth, and because we felt ourselves obliged to do so by our oath and conscience. It is true, that we have not all of us at one time or together seen, heard and met with every detail of its entire contents. Nevertheless there is nothing in it, but what is well known by some of us to be true and certain, the most is known by all of us to be true. We hope their high mightinesses will pardon our presumption, and be charitable with our plainness of style, composition, and method. In conclusion we commit their high mightinesses, their persons, deliberations and measures and their people, at home and abroad, together with all the friends of New Netherland, to the merciful guidance and protection of the Most High, whom we supplicate for their high mightinesses' present and eternal welfare. Amen. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.